Introduction, right? But can I just tell you, yesterday at Fine Arts, and he doesn't want any of this, but I'm going to do it anyways. I got to sit and talk with a young man. He's up at Pastor Aaron Hlavin's church in Sterling Heights. But when I was interviewing to come over to Northville, that pastor was over on the west side of the state, and I talked with him. I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to Northville." And he's like, "Oh man, Pastor Brooks and Pastor Tammy, they." Oh, man, they're top-notch people. And I was talking with him yesterday. So that was 4 years ago, and I was talking with him yesterday, and he was just talking about when the first time he walked into Pastor Brooks and Pastor Tammy's home, just the peace, the first time he's ever felt that kind of peace in a home. We are so blessed with our lead pastors. Can you give it up for Pastor Brooks as he comes?
I'm tearing up because I'm humbled that others might actually see a bit of Christ in me. I want people to see Christ in us. Amen. Welcome. Those who be joining us online, I'm sorry. I just humbled by that. Amen. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Peter. You can turn to 1 Peter for the next several weeks, but we're walking through it. If you don't get it already, we're in a series of it. We're walking through the entire letter. Once we complete first letter, I'll go into a second letter. But 1 Peter chapter 3 today, we're going to look just at verses 13 to 16. I want to talk about knowing the reason, knowing the reason. Let me start with this thought, though. Imagine trying to explain flying in a 747 Boeing jet airplane to someone from 200 years ago. Try to convince somebody from 1821 to get inside a metal box that weighs 750,000 pounds, loaded with 63,000 gallons of flammable fuel, fly up in the sky at 35,000 feet at 570 miles per hour. I'm telling you, somewhere from 200 years ago, that would be a tough sell to get them on that. Anybody understand that? And if those people would not or could not really believe what you're saying, you would just be left with this statement. You just have to take my word for it, right? Now, think about this thought. What if you were able to explain some of the physics behind why the airplane can fly? How the law of lift can be stronger than the law of gravity? How a plane's engines now are designed to propel it forward at a speed which causes the airflow to go rapidly over the wings, which generates an upward force as it goes over the wing. It pushes down and generates this upward force called lift, and the lift overcomes the plane's weight and actually can hold it in the sky. Now, that's about as detailed as I can get, okay? But the person might begin to listen to you and begin to kind of understand the possibility of how a plane could fly. But then, if they got to watch you safely take off and land again and do it time and time again, they might finally conclude, you're right, the big metal box can fly, right? Here's my point. In many ways, this is what it's like when we try to explain to other people what it's like to be a Christ follower. We tell people, Jesus can forgive you, you can have eternal life, but they can't explain any further than that. And so they end up telling people, just take my word for it. But if you're not going to show them the life of Christ by the way you live, They watch you take off every morning in the Lord, land your day in the Lord, right? If you don't live it out, then they'll never take your word for it. And so this morning, we're going to look at a passage where Peter encourages the church to demonstrate this Christian faith to others in the way that we live and be prepared to explain why we live for Christ and do it in such a way that would make sense to them so they could understand it. Now, up to this point, Peter has been telling us as believers, the church, we're supposed to live as Christ followers, bottom line. And his major theme in all of this has been submission to one another. Last week, we heard Peter lay down what I thought was some tough teaching and a lot of teaching about how we're to live our life. He said, live in harmony. How many have been 100% at that? Live sympathetic and compassionate. How many have been 100% of that? Live in love. How many have been 80% of that? I mean, live in humility. How have been 10% in that, right? Live to forgive and live to bless. Wow, that is a lot to do, right? That's just from last week. But he's saying this is how we live. And then after giving all of that instruction, Peter starts in verse 13 today with a rhetorical question that we're going to begin with. Verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, after all of that, now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, but I pray that we will be hearers of your word and doers of it. And today, as we hear this, I pray you will help us know the reason for the hope we have. Help us learn how to explain that hope to others. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you need that prayer as much as I do, say amen. Amen. Let me repeat verse 13 again just to put it back in your mind. Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? Now, certainly when you do good things, how many have ever done something good? Okay, your humility just went away. No, we have. We've done good things. And if you do good things, many times people will do good things back to you, right? But how many of you know that's not always the case? Life has taught us that sometimes in us doing good, people still harm you even though you're trying to do good. Peter understood this. He knew that even though we might live the way God wants us to live, which is to be good, there are going to be people in the world who will try to harm you. And so Peter follows up the rhetorical question with a teaching. Verse 14, 15, and 16 as we read through it today. Verse 14, he says, but even if you suffer for doing what is right. Now, Peter knows that living for Jesus is going to be misunderstood. It was misunderstood as he lived for Jesus. That's why Peter goes on to say, God will reward you for it. So there's a perception that we've got to keep in mind here, and that is that what I do according to God and his word, I am not doing it necessarily for others, but I'm doing it as unto the Lord. Because God is going to reward me for doing it. So he says, don't worry or be afraid of their threats. I need to make a couple of points as we start here. First of all, he says, do not worry or be afraid. Part two of that statement is in the next verse, and I'm going to go ahead and give it to you, is not only do not worry, but do worship. Do not worry, do worship. Listen to verse 15. The first part says, instead. Okay? Instead of what? Instead of being worried. Instead of being afraid. Being afraid of what people think about you as a believer. Or worried about what people, if you're doing good or as you live for Jesus. Instead of the worry and the fear, Peter says you must what? Worship Christ as Lord of your life. Church, this reminds us that we don't have to fear the world or be concerned about what it can do to us. Throughout history, Christians, those who have proclaimed the name of Christ, have given their life because of their profession of faith. We have a blessing that the world cannot take away from us. The world cannot take away the forgiveness that has been given to you in Jesus Christ. The world cannot take away the presence of the Holy Spirit that He has put in your life. And you need to remember that no matter what the world does to us, we are blessed. But let me tell you what the problem is. Too many believers get caught up or concerned about their position or their perception among society instead of their position in eternity. I don't know if you remember this or know it from the Bible, but Peter was arrested for preaching the gospel. He was beaten and then told, "Don't preach the gospel ever again." Peter and his friends went away from that moment, rejoicing that they were counted worthy of that kind of persecution for Jesus Christ. Now, Peter is now telling us the exact same thing. In other words, Peter is not preaching something he did not practice. When Peter suffered, it was for doing the right thing. Jesus says this in Matthew 5, 11 and 12. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. What does Jesus go on to say about it? Verse 12, be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Peter remembered what Jesus said, and we need to remember it today. We've got to keep our perspective clear. Church, we are living for eternity. We are looking to our heavenly future. If we get our hearts set on earthly things and possessions and pleasures, the easy life and comfort, we can become vulnerable to losing our joy if that's where your joy comes from, because at any moment you can lose all of those things. But when Jesus Christ has the unique place in your heart and your life, when the most precious thing in your life is your relationship with God, then even if we do suffer, we know that our relationship with God can never be taken from us. So that's why we don't live in fear. We don't live worried about other people, what they might or might not do. And because of that, Peter says, what do? We worship. Verse 15 again. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. Church, if we put Jesus Christ first, then we have nothing to fear from this world. So do not worry, but what? Do worship. Now, what should worship look like? Let me give you a couple of thoughts. Worship, first of all, means that we view everything we have as belonging to the Lord. Our money, our job, our time, our energy, it's all God's. We're just stewards of those things while we're here on earth. But in our worship, we now steward those things because they belong to God. Worship also means that we view God's word as authoritative. We have to be people who know and believe that God's word outweighs anything produced by modern science or the culture at large or the so-called experts of the day. God's word is our final authority. authority. Church, we choose to obey God's word and we lean on God's wisdom above everything else. Amen? And so we recognize that God sets the agenda for our life, not us. We are constantly asking, God, what do you want of me? Rather than telling God what we want him to do. Not my will, but what? Your will be done. If we'll set apart Christ as Lord, then we won't fear the world. We'll set him as Lord in our life. And if we do that, we will be people who begin to demonstrate grace even in the most difficult circumstances. Church, we do not have to face life in our own strength. We're not living for that temporal, living for the eternal. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and that is why we worship God. Next, Peter goes on to tell us that if we will live our life and our lives like God wants us to, then the world is going to take notice of it. And when they do, we will most likely have an opportunity and a responsibility to share the reason for the hope we have. Listen to verse 15, the second half, and heading into 16. Again, it says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear that if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Peter tells us that we should always be prepared to give an answer to those who ask us for the reason of our hope. The word translated to explain it means to give a reasoned defense. In fact, the Greek word here is apologia, meaning an answer, clearing of yourself, a defense. Peter is saying that when people ask us, why do you live the way you do? We need to help them understand why our faith is real. We have to be able to not just explain what we believe, but explain why that belief is true and why God's word can be trusted. Amazingly to me, America still today, many people do not understand the truth of who Jesus really is. I want you to know he is more than a curse word. But that's what our world knows about him. Now, a lot of people are prepared to give a reasoned defense for a lot of other things in life. Now, I don't want to offend anybody here, and it really is not my intent at all. But so many of those things are unimportant. But many can explain things like our political beliefs. They've studied it so much, they can fire down everything they need to fire down at you about political stuff. Some can share thoughts on their favorite sports team and give you statistics among statistics. Why? Because they've studied it. They know about it. They can tell you all the rules of the game. They can tell you all the players of the game. Or there's others who can tell you what product is the best. I mean, you got to buy this. And they've experienced it, and so they're sharing with you. But the thing that should be the most important objective in our life, our faith. Many people are not prepared to give a reason for the faith they have. Church, if we can't explain what we believe to others, I'm telling you, it will affect the credibility of what you do believe. How do we understand what we believe better? Let me start with this. First of all, know the Bible for yourself. So many people are reliant upon what they get from a teaching or from a Sunday. I'm telling you, as the body of believers, know the Bible for yourself. This means that you're going to have to read some portion of the Bible yourself every day. And then allow the Holy Spirit to help you understand what you read and what you believe. Now, could I tell you this? Base your beliefs on what you actually read in Scripture and not on what you think you have heard that is in Scripture. For instance, I've got a few thoughts here. Tell me if these are Scripture or not. You ready? God helps those who help themselves. Not Scripture? Correct. That was by Benjamin Franklin. With great power comes great responsibility. It's from the movie Spider-Man. God works in mysterious ways. Now you're questioning. It's unknown, but it is not in the Bible. Money is the root of all evil. What is it? It's correct. It is a misquote from the Bible. It's not money. It's the love of it. What about to thine own self be true? Only if you're Shakespeare and writing Hamlet. Church, if we're going to really be able to explain to others what we believe, we have to know the source of our beliefs. And there are statements out there that begin to come, I don't know, is that we have to know the source of our beliefs. And I'd like to challenge you to think about, listen, think about some of the things you believe and where they come from, then look them up in the Bible and make sure that what you believe is actually based on Scripture. Amen? So know the Bible for yourself. And then practice biblical thinking. Are you ready for this one? Now this is related to knowing the Bible, but it's the next step where you begin to practice thinking about how does God's word apply to my life? And then when we practice living and thinking biblically, it will help you in your life. Church, you need to think about what the Bible teaches and about how do you do your job. Well, I do it as unto the Lord. I do my job well. How do you raise your children? What does the Bible have to say about that? How should you spend your money? What does the Bible have to say about that? And then we just learn to begin to think through issues and situations in light of God's word instead of the sound bites that we've heard from the world. What does God's word say about this issue? I have a favorite scripture of mine that I go to when making decisions. It's James 3:17. Anytime I have to make a decision, it says wisdom from above is first of all pure. That one right there stops just about everything because I have to check my own motive. Why would I get a new car? Why would I get another house? Why would I buy cookies? Is my motive pure? Then it says it's peaceable. Then it says it's considerate. That means I've got to take into consideration everything else. Then it's submissive, so that means I need to get some counsel about it. So I look to my wife when I'm looking at the donuts, and what do you think about it? Now, all of a sudden, you begin to apply God's word now to your life and your decisions if you want wisdom from above. Then it says it's full of good fruits. Church, this is what we want to live like. Amen? Amen? I want you to know that God's word can transform the way you live, the way you act, the way you speak. Philippians 2:13, Paul says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to what?" See, I just want my will. I like to do that. No, and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. God wants us to represent Him and His Word well in this world. So, know the Bible for yourself and practice biblical thinking. And to help you become more effective at what you believe, let me take you back to the Greek word apologia. That's where we get our word apologetics, okay? Which is to give a reason for the and defend what you believe. Listen, there are a number of good books out there to seek and to help you maybe have a reasonable explanation for a number of questions that you might have about your faith. Lee Strobel, for apologetics, has written some good books like The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, The Case for a Creator. In fact, next week, I have a little book coming called The Case for Christ Answer Booklet. It's 64 pages by Lee Strobel, and I want to give you this little book to possibly help answer some questions you have and also begin to help you be able to have knowledge in your life so you can share with others when you might be asked a question about your faith. We need those tools, but it's based on Scripture. Now, Peter does give us one more bit of instruction this morning about how we share our defense or our beliefs. 1 Peter 3, 15, 16 again. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Verse 16, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then, if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Peter says, be gentle and respectful. I want us to be careful. I do not want to miss this part of the instruction. We need to show gentleness and respect when we share our beliefs with others. Actually, I believe this is part of being submissive. It's a mindset that Peter's been sharing throughout this. We are to show honor even when somebody disagrees with us. And there will be those who will disagree with you. But Peter says, as we give that answer, you need to guard the tone and the demeanor of your life when you answer. Because your demeanor is just as important as the words. When we talk to people about faith and Christ, we need to share our faith with explanation rather than argument. Our attitude in sharing our faith is going to influence how people view what we have to say. And Peter says that we should live and act in a way that demonstrates that we are believers in Jesus Christ. People should be able to see our beliefs in the way we live. That's why when what was said and heard by Pastor Raymond today, and why it touches me, because I want my life, I want my home, I want everything about what I represent about Christ to be noticed, not for me, but for Him. Now notice, people, that Peter did not say that people will not attack you. It's just that if those attacks happen, they're going to be slander. And one day, they're going to be ashamed of their slander. And they will, deal with that at that point. But hear verse 16 again from Peter, at least the last part. That if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live. There's a reason. Because you belong to Christ. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. Over the last several weeks, Peter has given us some challenging instructions. I wish I could tell you it's all over, you've got it, but we've got more that we have to walk through. But Peter is saying that if you'll live the way God wants you to live, the world is going to take notice of your life. If we're being submissive to one another, if we are a blessing to one another instead of repaying evil with evil, if we're trusting God's strength in our life and all of our circumstances, people are going to notice your life and who you are, and they're going to say, how do you live that way? And then Peter says, that's why we need to be prepared to speak intelligently about what we believe and about who God Almighty really is. Can I go back to the airplane thought at the beginning? If we were talking with someone who had never seen or heard of an airplane, we would do everything we could to explain to them and even convince them, hey, you can go places you never thought possible. All because of a plane. How much more should we do that with our faith? You can go places you've never been. You can have peace like you've never known. You can have joy like you've never experienced. There's just so much there. But in doing that, do we know how to share our faith? Do we know how to live out the Word of God? Do we know how to listen and respond to the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us? I know it's going to take practice. I don't know if you know, but medicine, they're still practicing. Church, we've not arrived either. So why don't we practice? And if just one person experienced life in Jesus because you shared Christ with them effectively, it would be worth it all. For just one. Because the good shepherd even goes after the one. This morning, as I close, I want us to sing that I Will Build My Life. I just want us to sing a little more prayerish to begin. Because sometimes we sing it in a declaration. I will build my life. I just want to be a little more prayerful as we start. I will build my life upon your love. It's a firm foundation. And I'll put my trust in you alone, right? Would you just lift that as a simple prayer?
Oh, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
Would you bow your heads? Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you haven't built your life on Christ. And today you can start. The gospel is simply this, that God so loved the world, He loved the people of the world. That God Himself came down in flesh, and we know Him as the man Jesus, who offered His life as a payment for our sin. There's a lot of details and a lot of thoughts behind the why, but He did do it so you could be forgiven, so God could restore His relationship with you. And He died on a cross. 3 days later, Jesus rose again to show us that there's life after death. And this day, you can build your life by faith in what Jesus did for you. And if that's you, balcony or main floor, if you slip your hand up and say, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. If that's you in this room today, you slip your hand up and put it right back down. Heavenly Father, I just pray for those in this room right now. And I believe that probably most of us have made that confession of faith, and now we're wanting to walk it out. If there is someone who's still struggling, Holy Spirit, would you just wrap them in your love today? Let them know how deeply you care about them. That you want to restore that relationship. And only you can do that. Lord, for us who have made that confession of faith, I pray, Lord, that you would help us grow, not stagnate in our walk, and not let it grow old in our life, but that your mercies are new every morning. That we can walk in a peace and a joy. We can have the presence of God in our life. We have your word to guide as a lamp to our feet. So God, we won't stumble and fall. Help us, I pray. And then, Lord, help us with our knowledge of your word. That, Lord, that we do check things out. That, Lord, we are honoring your word, and then teach us how to share it effectively. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand? I asked you to sing it as a prayer. Now I am going to ask you to sing it as a declaration. Because church, it starts with surrender. And now it was lived out in the strength of the Holy Spirit. So I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation.
Yes, it is. You've shown it true.
There will be people who will come along your path and they're going to try to shake that faith. They're going to question it. But you, as the people of God, as believers in Jesus Christ and the creator of the universe, are going to get to know him and his word and be able to share the truth of what you believe. Why? Because you're believers. You are people of faith. And so, church, we do not have to back off. We just need to know the truth. Because the truth is what sets people free. Ideology is great thinking without application. Church, faith is what? This evidence of things not even seen. And we live by it. Why? Because God's faithful. And we put our trust in him. You're here this morning because many of you have put your faith. Church, how many more could fill this place with your relationships if your life really is noticed as a believer in Jesus Christ? Now, by the way, I don't know what we're facing in the future, imminently or years away. But if we're persecuted for living for Jesus, I am not going to be shaken. How about you? I know in whom I believed, and I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor anything will separate me from the love that he has for me. Church, that's where we got to live. And I know you go, our American Christianity, and I'm putting a kind of a title to it. We are not Christian Americans. We are believers in Jesus Christ by faith in what God did, and we are children of the King now. I live as a citizen of this nation. I will respect its authority. Why? Because that's what I've been taught. I'm going to love people because that's what I've been taught by the King. But I'm living for the next, not the now. Amen? Heavenly Father, as people of the King, as children of the King, Lord, I pray that you would build our faith, our confidence. So, Lord, when we tell people about this airplane of faith that can lift them higher, it's the law of lift one day when you come and you rapture your church above it all. So, God, help us to be able to declare it faithfully and live it out faithfully in Jesus' name. For your glory. Amen. 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 So, you've got a challenge this week to have a Jesus-filled week. Amen. So, live the challenge out and bring Him some glory. God bless you. See you next Sunday.